Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading to you from the Free Grace broadcaster from fall of 2019. That's available to you free, by the way, by just going by email to chapel@mountzion.org. chapel@mountzion.org. And write them a note, tell them you would like to have this booklet, the Free Grace broadcaster, sent to you every quarter free, and they'll do it. This time, and every time, there's a particular theme. This time the theme is spiritual mindedness, and we're dealing with Mr. John Owen, whom we have read before. John Owen was an English congregational pastor, author, theologian. He comes to us from the 17th century. He lived from 1616 to 1683. And about spiritual mindedness, he says, as the nature of the earth is judged by the grass that grows on it, so the heart may be judged by the thoughts produced by it. If those thoughts are spiritual, the man is spiritual. If they are worldly, then the man is worldly. Everyone's heart is his treasury, and the treasure the heart contains is either good or evil, as Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:35. There is good and bad treasure in the heart. So whatever a man has in his heart is his treasure. This treasure is never exhausted. The more it poured out, the more it is poured out, the more it increases. The more one pours out the treasure of one's heart, the more one will be repaid in the same kind. If the heart is filled with evil treasure, the thoughts it pours out will be evil. But if the heart has been renewed by grace and is under the power and dominion of grace, then it is full of good, good spiritual treasure. And the thoughts it pours out are good and spiritual too. Matthew 12:35 again. So the thoughts of the heart reveal the real truth about a person. Thoughts that are voluntary, unforced, and that arise naturally because they are delighted in and bring satisfaction to the mind, these are the thoughts that show us the real truth about ourselves. We all have many thoughts about our work, our family, and our various duties, but these thoughts do not tell us the real truth about ourselves. And so those whose calling it is to study Scripture and preach it to others cannot but have many spiritual thoughts. Yet Christian ministers may be, and often are, the least spiritually minded of all people. It would be well for the church if all preachers diligently examined themselves in this matter. It's the same with all those who read a portion of Scripture every day. They may be very faithful in performing this religious ritual, and yet not at all spiritually minded. But when a person is relaxed and free from all cares and worries, and his mind is free to think as it pleases, then we can see what thoughts are natural to it. If these are useless, foolish, proud, ambitious, lustful, or degrading, then such is the true nature of the heart and the person. But if they are holy, spiritual, and heavenly, so is the heart and the person. In the unregenerate, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually, Genesis 6:5. This is the natural, genuine product of the heart of the unbeliever. And so the wicked are said to be like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, Isaiah 57:20. Their hearts are full of evil. This mire and dirt of evil thoughts is continually stirred up by the ever-moving sea of lusts and uncontrollable desires. And so to be spiritually minded in the first place is to have holy, heavenly, spiritual thoughts. The regenerate, spiritual heart, like a refreshing spring, pours out a crystal clear stream of such thoughts. As all men occasionally think of spiritual things but are not spiritually minded, we must find out what thoughts especially prove us to be spiritually minded. Before we can do so, we must first make a clear distinction between thoughts that arise naturally from the heart and those that are forced on us from an outside influence. Some men naturally think about their houses and lands, even like to call their lands after their own name, Psalm 49:11. Others' minds are filled with evil schemes, Psalm 64:6. But the psalmist does not distinguish between thoughts arising from the natural bent of the heart and those stirred up by outward influences. The thoughts of wicked men are stirred up by inward lusts, James 1:14. These lusts stir up thoughts, leading and encouraging the person to provide for what the flesh desires. Similarly, with spiritual thoughts, they are the first natural thoughts of the regenerate mind, and they stir up the person to provide for his spiritual growth and health. For instance, there are two sorts of thoughts that stir up covetousness. Covetousness can be stirred up by the sight of desirable objects. The covetous desires of Achan were roused when he saw a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. That's in Joshua 7:21. When he saw them, he coveted them. The covetous man is naturally covetous, and so covetous desires naturally well up within him. Isaiah 32:6. He's quite the opposite of the generous-hearted man. Isaiah 32:8. The unclean person is the same. His lust is aroused by outward objects. To avoid being stirred up to unclean thoughts, Job made a covenant with his eyes. That's in 31:1 of Job. Christ also warned of adulterous thoughts being awakened within by a lustful look, Matthew 5:28. It's better to pluck out the right eye, he said, than to allow one's mind to be filled with such unclean thoughts. But an unclean person is also naturally lustful and has these desires in himself which give rise to lustful thoughts. So Peter describes such persons as having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, 2 Peter 2:14. But if our natural thoughts and desires are for spiritual things, then we may judge ourselves to be spiritually minded. One day the psalmist was meditating on spiritual things, namely the person and kingdom of the Messiah, Psalm 45:1. His heart bubbled up a good matter, as it says in the original. It's a picture of a spring of water bubbling up. His spiritual thoughts bubbled up from a living spiritual spring within him. This is true spiritual mindedness. There is in the regenerate heart a living spring full of spiritual things that bubbles up into holy thoughts. This is how Christ describes spiritual life, John 4, verses 10 and 12. The Holy Spirit, with his graces in the heart of a believer, is a well of living water. The well the Samaritan woman drew water from was a lifeless, earthly thing, of no use unless buckets and ropes were used to draw the water to the surface. But the living water that Christ gives bubbles up continually within us and is for our spiritual refreshment. This is the secret of the person who is a new creation in Christ and who has a new spiritual nature. The Spirit, with his graces, is the source of true spiritual life in believers. This spiritual spring bubbles up of itself without the need of any outward influences to draw it into holy, heavenly, spiritual thoughts. The spiritual man has within him a spiritual spring which naturally bubbles up spiritual thoughts and desires. Christ also likens the spiritual life to a fruit tree. A good tree naturally bears good fruit. A bad tree naturally bears bad fruit. The good tree signifies a life made new by the grace of regeneration, and which now naturally bears the good fruit of holy, spiritual thoughts. Men may have many thoughts of spiritual things that do not bubble up from an inward spiritual spring, but are drawn up by other influences. When the Holy Spirit does his work of convicting a person of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16:8. This stirs the mind to think of spiritual things in a way that is contrary to its own natural inclination. It's natural for water to fall and flow downhill, but when pressure is applied to it, as it runs through a hose pipe, it will spurt upwards, as if it was natural for it to do so. But as soon as the pressure eases, then the water returns to its natural tendency. So it is with our thoughts. They naturally flow to the earth. But when the pressure of spiritual conviction is brought to bear on the soul, then the thoughts are forced up to heaven, as if it was natural for them to be there. But when the pressure of spiritual conviction is removed, then the thoughts return to earthly things. Outward troubles also force thoughts up to God, but these thoughts are not genuine and honest. Troubles, dangers, sickness, fear of dying will force people to think of God and spiritual things for a while, but when the pressure is eased, then the mind returns to its natural, unspiritual interests. Jeremiah gives the reason for this in Jeremiah 13:23. And so a person who depends on outward pressures and influences to keep up his spiritual thoughts is not naturally spiritually minded. Water that bubbles up from a spring flows steadily and constantly unless it is obstructed or diverted. But that which flows from thunderstorms runs furiously for a while and is then quickly dried up. So true spiritual thoughts, bubbling up from an inward spiritual spring, are steady and constantly present in the mind, unless diverted by secular work or obstructed for a while by strong temptations. But the spiritual thoughts, stirred up by the thunderstorms of conviction, are soon dried up. So, all the means that God has given for producing holy, heavenly thoughts only do so by exciting and stirring up the inward spiritual principle within the regenerated heart. But in those whose hearts are barren, the same divine means only serve, as it were, to stir up occasional thoughts, some here and some there. That's from the book Spiritual Mindedness and by Mr. Owen, published, The Banner of Truth put it out in 2009. The book is available in print, used by permission, and in fact, everything that I read from this, from these articles, are read by permission from the Free Grace broadcaster folks. As I said, you can have the whole thing just sent to your door, and you can read along with me or read without me if you like. All right, we have the works of other great men of God on this site and a whole lot more. Do go also to cristfromamongus.com and check out the subject matter there. I think it will bless you and cause you to weep at times and to pray with me about some things. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.